Well, greetings this morning. In the name of the Lord and from the saints of Disciple Church in Whittier, I bring you warm greetings. It's great to be back with you this Lord's Day, and I appreciate the warm welcome that I've received again from you and from my family. It's a blessing to be a part of this association, and having been recently received into the association this past July, we really are very much blessed by all the relationships and the abilities that we're able to have because of it. So, praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, now it's going to be the time of the reading of the scriptures. And so our Old Testament reading for this morning will be Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. And then we'll be New Testament in James chapter 1. But let me read from the Word. Hear now the Word of the Lord. That's read from Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few, for a dream comes with much business, and a fool's voice with many words. Now, James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, our text for this morning. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Praise the Lord for the hearing and reading of his word. May he bring a blessing upon it in the preaching of his word. Would you bow with me one more time as we pray now? Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come and worship together in your presence, or to see Christ lifted up in your scriptures, to be able to hear of the truth that you are seeking to tell us through your word. Lord, we pray now that you would bless the reading and the preaching of this word. Lord, you would help us now to receive it as what it truly is, not a word from man, but a word from you, our Lord and Savior. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, again, I'm grateful to be here this morning and to bring a blessing from the Lord and from his word. As we look into the text that we'll be going into this morning of James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, this is often maybe a well-known or well-heard of text. In fact, I would be I'd be surprised if there weren't if there was a large number of people who have not heard of these verses. My beloved brothers, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. We've heard words like this before, right? In fact, they're often used in encouraging others to kind of nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Hey, don't speak so quickly here, maybe from in marriages or maybe from parents to children. And these are important words. These are important words of the Lord, of that James is teaching in his letter here. But these words, I feel, have sometimes been misapplied, or maybe they just have been not fully understood in their context. I'm grateful for a church like this who studies the Word, who knows the Word, who seeks to grow in it. And from today's text, we really want to see what is God teaching us from this text, particularly as it relates to understanding and receiving God's Word. We want to be the type of people who are ready and willing to listen about what God is teaching us and front to receive from the Lord. Let me just first speak of that these verses are helpful to us in terms of a general way. They relate to something about what it's true. It's true that people usually look more intelligent or more wise if they are slow to speak. That's true. And even the Proverbs give us teaching like this, Proverbs 1, verses 8 through 9, speaking of this sort of a thing, about being ready and willing to receive, be quick to hear. It says, "Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teaching. for they are a graceful garland for your head and the pendants for your neck. You should be ready and willing to receive teaching. Parents should be able to do that. There's also Proverbs 17, 28 speaks about a silent person. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. And again, in Proverbs chapter 14, 29, it says, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. But in today's passage, I'd like to spend time focusing not on the general aspects of this teaching, but on the specific aspects of what James is really pulling out, which is what type of people we should be as when we are hearing teaching from the Lord. These verses are primarily about listening, not to each other and being careful to speak, primarily to each other, although they do have application for that. It's primarily about our interactions with God and His Word. And so let me just show you, even as we are to rightly interpret the word, not being ashamed, just write in real estate, location, 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 right? It really matters in interpretation, context, context, context. Just the verses, the verse before, verse 18, the verse within our passage in verse 21, and the verse immediately following our passage in verse 22, we're going to see that it's not general commands that were given in these three commands, but specific commands regarding the word, regarding God's truth. At verse 18, it says, of his own will, God brought us forth. He gave birth to us spiritually, is our regeneration here, by the word of truth, through the preaching and the teaching of the gospel message is how people come to faith. God opens their hearts and their ears to hear, their minds to be illuminated by the Spirit through the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So just the verse before, it says, by the word of truth, we are brought forth. In verse 21, in the midst of our passage, it says, receive with meekness the implanted word. Receive what God is telling us, this implanted word later, which he says is able to save your souls, this gospel preaching, this teaching that happens. And then even the next verse, verse 22, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, and he goes on. James is speaking to Christians who are scattered and dispersed from Jerusalem. Some people have pegged it to maybe a persecution that took place in the mid-40s, and he is now teaching them various different communities that need help and encouragement and pastoring. He's writing in a way to help them in their predicaments, and he covers various different topics of trials. In fact, chapter 1 brings up very much to do about how to live in the midst of trials and how to pursue God in the midst of trials, ask for wisdom. So we are to be seeking wisdom and to be aware that even in those trials, that those sorts of things are not necessarily to be blamed on God. We have our own passions that could be a part of that. And those are important. That's an important context for us. But as we look at these verses today, we want to see, okay, God speaks to his people. He speaks to his people through his word. He speaks to his people on the Lord's day through the preaching and the teaching of his word. And so how are we to respond to God when he teaches us? This really has to do with our, not just our head and our knowledge. It has to do with our heart and our attitudes and how we should receive from the Lord. Our question really, if it could be summed up, is how are we to respond when hearing teaching from God's word? And so we'll just follow, we'll follow the path of these three commands that he's given us. How are we to respond when hearing teaching from God's word? The first point is we must be quick to hear God through the teaching of his word. We must be quick to hear God. It's not just quick to hear or quick to listen. In fact, if we think about it, isn't it true that there are some things that we should not be quick to listen to? We should not be quick to hear or listen to gossip or slander. We should not be quick to listen to false things or controversies, divisions in the church. We're not to be entertaining certain things in our hearts and our minds. No, this is specifically saying we must be quick to hear God when he speaks to us through his word. And so this gives us an important teaching about our heart and our attitude. Verse 19, know this, my beloved brothers, even an indication that he's speaking to the people of God, the gathered people of God. Yes, he's talking to Christians in a general way, but he's talking to Christians amongst churches who gather. And he says, be quick to hear. Don't be slow to hear. Look forward to coming to the Lord's day and the Lord's worship and being with the Lord's people, and be ready and quick to hear. In fact, this has implication for us, I know for many of us, as we prepare for the Lord's day. The night before, the day before preparing, I know we have, like I'm sure many of you have different rhythms in your life as you have your life surrounded by the Lord's day, and kind of the Lord's day is the pinnacle of our time together and being with Him. Being quick to hear would really require us to prepare our hearts so that we are ready to hear. In our Old Testament reading this morning, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, there's a parallel to our passage here this morning that James gives us. And it really is the carefulness with which we are to approach God. In Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1, it says, "Guard your steps when you go to the house of God." The house of God is supposed to be a wonderful place where we meet with God, we hear God, we receive teaching from Him, and even are reminded of the salvation we have in Christ by faith in Him alone, and the forgiveness that we have, the unity that we have. But it's not something to be done flippantly, amen? It's something to be done carefully, with a guarded heart, with a careful mind. Yes, of course, we can and should smile and be filled with joy because of the joy of our salvation, the joy of the family relationships that we have, the joy of the unity that we have. But still, as we come into His presence, may we have a sense of awe, a sense of not losing the fact that we get to be in the presence of our God and Almighty Creator, King of the universe, every week. It's so easy to get, you know, what is it? Familiarity breeds contempt. It's so easy to take things for granted, but I'm just an encouragement and a blessing from the Word today. We must be quick to hear, which means we must be ready to guard our steps when we go to the house of the Lord. It says, to draw near, to listen, is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools. What's the sacrifice of fools? Just talking about anything and everything that we want to, just letting our lips go. No. It's better to come ready to listen and to receive. For these fools, they do not know that they are doing evil. You know, as we've learned and grown in our ability as a family to honor the Lord's Day in the way that we prepare, in the way that we even speak. I know in Isaiah chapter 58, it speaks about coming to Lord's Day, and if we love it, if we delight it, if we don't go our own way, but as we guard the Lord's Day, we even guard it from idle speech, it talks about. Not talking idly. No, this is something that we are to love, that this is the Lord's Day, to be filled with His Word, His blessing, His encouragement, His knowledge. You know, as we look at these verses, many people have understood these verses more primarily to be horizontal, right? How we should interact with each other. Just be quick to hear one another. And it's true. But we can rest assured that the primary understanding of these verses have been heard and seen in Christian history. It's not something that is novel. No, it's something that our Baptist and Reformed forefathers have said before us. Just a few examples here. John Gill, well-known particular Baptist pastor in London, 1748, he wrote this about the passage. He says, "Since the gospel, which is the word of truth, is the means and the instrument which God makes use of in regeneration and in forming people for Himself, therefore, let every man be swift to hear, not anything, not idle and unprofitable talk, or filthy and corrupt communication, but wholesome advice, good instructions, that is, above all, the Word of God." Moving further back in time, just a little bit, a few decades, Matthew Henry, a well-known Bible commentator, says this verse refers to the Word of truth spoken of in the foregoing text. And so we may observe that it is our duty rather to hear God's word and to apply our minds to understand it than to speak according to our own fancies or the opinions of men and to run into the heat and passion thereupon. Just a, a few more here. Thomas Manton, 1693, writes, James has spoken of the word of truth being the instrument of conversion, and on that ground urges diligence in hearing and reverence in speaking about it, the word of truth. He says, you see what an honor God has given the word, and through it he bestows new life. Therefore, be quick to listen. Have a teachable mind to wait on God's word and to wrap out our old faithful teachers of the past. John Calvin, 1555, says, notice he comments about how it's not actually generally. He says, were this a general sentence, the inference would be far-fetched. He's actually saying it's not actually generally speaking. But he immediately adds a sentence respecting the word of truth and suitable to the last verse. I doubt not, but what he accommodates this exhortation is peculiarly to the subject that is at hand, which is the word of God. Now, it's just important to know, if God calls us to the Lord's Day every week, and he calls us to gather and to hear, then it is an important command of which we are to follow. So I have a question for you as we hear these words. How deep is your longing to hear from God through his word? How deep is your longing? Is it something that you genuinely, seriously pray to the Lord to hear from him? Lord, I am so looking forward to going to be with your people, to hear you speak to me through the sermons, through the teachings. I want a word from you. In fact, good news, we get words from him through his word every week. Amen? Through the teaching and through the preaching of God. Is it something that your heart yearns for? Or is it something that maybe we're grateful to have when we have it, but the other parts of the week or other parts of the day, maybe our minds go to other things? This is showing us, if the word of God is so important and must be listened to with diligence, then it is so valuable for us to train our minds, to discipline our hearts and our thoughts, to see of its true beauty. It really is that wonderful. God is that wonderful. His word is that wonderful. His Christ, Jesus, is that wonderful. And so when we hear from him, of him, and to him, our hearts should well up with excitement and readiness. You know, as we hear the teaching, we should not be bored. It should not be something that we just have to get through. We should be leaning in, getting enough sleep if possible the night before, not falling asleep. We should be asking the Lord, here, teach me, Lord. What are you saying? Make it clear to me. Work through the preacher, through the teacher. Thank you so much, Lord, for the ministry of this teaching that I can receive. May I receive it with a true heart. It makes me think of David and the psalmists who speak of the Lord in this way, the speak of his word. Just Psalm 119, right? It's all about the word of God. So many verses in there can instruct us about it. I love these verses. Verses 7 and 8 say this, I will praise you with an upright heart. Look at the attitude of, yes, I will praise you, Lord, when I learn of your righteous rules. I love your law, right? I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Oh, Lord, I love your law. I love hearing it. I'm going to keep it. No, Lord, be with me. Don't forsake me. I want to be with you. Right? Just in the verses after, some well-known verses, 119 verses 9 and following. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. See, it's not disinterested. It's not thinking about the next thing that I have to do. It's, Lord, I'm all in. I'm all ears. I'm all eyes. Give me what you got. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, this idea of believing and receiving and even memorizing God's word, that I might not sin against you. Oh, Lord, I don't want to do anything that would defame you, that would blaspheme you, that would bring disrepute on you, your people, your word. I want to guard your third commandment. But this is the kind of heart posture we should have. This is good for us to be reminded of, to be told. And many of us know this, but it's good to be reminded of this. Our hearts should be ready and willing and even blazing. And often they aren't. Is that not true? Often they can grow cold. And so this is something that we can and should be praying for. Lord, keep me soft. Keep me open. Keep me ready. What is it that you have to teach me? How are we to receive the teaching of God's word? We are to be quick to hear it. We are to prepare ourselves for it. We should praise the Lord when we hear it and receive it with open hearts, full hearts. And so let's look at our second command in our passage. How are we to receive teaching from the word? Just quick to hear. But our second is we should be slow to teach God's word, slow to speak God's word without preparation or approval. Again, this passage it's generally true that you should be careful the words that you speak. That's generally true in the Proverbs, but this passage is talking about God and his word and giving us his word. And so we should be quick to hear his word, and we should be slow to speak his word, not just slow to speak anything. You know, some people have understood this passage to mean that we should be slow to speak when we're receiving God's word, like not interrupt the teacher, but we should be kind of continue listening and not speaking. And it's possible that that's what that means. I think there's some faithful men who would take that position. But I think that command sounds an awful lot like be quick to hear and keep hearing, keep listening, which would kind of be don't speak very quickly. And it's possible, again, that that's what that means. But I think there's likely a better understanding, a more specific understanding, that it is to not be slow to speak the word of God. Not because the word of God isn't faithful, not because the word of God isn't powerful and active, but we are not always faithful. We are not always right in our understanding of things. And so God's word must be guarded, and it should not just be flippantly spoken of in a way in which we could be speaking untruth and lies about God's word. We must know what we're talking about when we're speaking about God's word. In fact, I think we can see support for this idea in the fact that in the book of James, in the letter of James itself, chapter 1, he outlines so many of the different topics that will be dealt with later in the book. And what do we see? We actually see this very specific idea being brought out not only in chapter 1, but in chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1, James says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." Not only should we be quick to hear God's word, receive it with joyful, glad, full hearts, preparing ourselves ahead of time, longing for it in our hearts, we should be very slow to speak the words of God as if we are speaking God's words for him. No. There is such thing, as we know, an office of elder, and there are teachers that are set aside in the church for that very task, a very important task, in which should be guarded, should be vetted. Not many of you should become teachers. In fact, going back to our Old Testament passage for the morning, our parallel passage in Ecclesiastes 5, it says similar things. In verse 2, "Be not rash with your mouth." Don't just quickly speak with your mouth. "Nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Do you know your place?" God is in heaven. You are on earth. You are submissive to him. "Therefore, let your words be few." Receive these words. Let God do the speaking, not you do the speaking. Look at what it says here in verse 3, an important text, context for us. Verse 3 of Ecclesiastes 5 says, "For a dream comes with much business, and a fool's voice with many words." A dream comes with much business, and a fool's voice with many words. What is this? What is he speaking of this dreams and fool's voice? Well, you know, in the Bible and in the Old Testament and in the New as well, but in the Old Testament, we see this category of God using dreams to be able to communicate things to his people. We see positive examples of that in Joseph. He confirms things that will happen in the life of Joseph. We see dreams in Daniel. We We see visions and things that happen, and that's a positive example of how God uses that. But there's also negative examples and negative connotations with dreams that takes place that are directly related to false prophets and false teachers. In fact, when it says these fools voice many words and a dream comes with many business, it's this idea that a person is actually just going about spouting whatever they think is right, they think is true, and they often attribute what they think is true to what God says. They are speaking on behalf of God, their own thoughts, and spreading these thoughts as if God were saying them, and people receive that teaching, receive that input, as if God said it. Wow, this person is convicted. They seem to be saying something that falls in line with being a devoted person to God, so wow, if God said that, I better listen to it. But no, the Old Testament and the Scriptures make it clear that God has his authorized speakers, mouthpieces for him, prophets in the Old Testament, teachers, elders in the New Testament. And we see that it's these dreams that we're supposed to avoid. We're to not to listen to other people's dreams. It's just many words. Let me read from Jeremiah chapter 29, starting in verse 8. It gives us a picture into this, and I was actually surprised to see that this is a very common thing that the prophets allude to. This is not the only place. It's just one example. For thus says the Lord, Jeremiah 29, 8 and 9. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. There's always been a connection of when you are hearing God's word, it is to be done through a person whom God appoints and separates for that task, so that God's word could be rightly taught and rightly understood. And there's often and always been a counter false teacher, false prophet, false leader who is saying really what they think is true, not God's word. And so in James, when he says, be slow to speak the word, we need to be careful that we are not attributing our thoughts as if they were God's word. No, God's word must be carefully guarded. But is James against teachers and teaching then because he's so careful? Is he saying nobody should ever be speaking the word of God? Like, should you be overly concerned with that? No, he's not taking it to that length. It's really you should be slow to speak the word without preparation of studying the word, and you should be slow to speak the word if you don't have the right approval to be speaking the word. We see this sort of a thing take place. Proverbs, this is not new. Proverbs says a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. Right? When God speaks, it's not our opinion. Amen? It's God's word. Therefore, it must be received as that. And really, what we're talking about without preparation is, in many cases, the ordination of faithful men to the office of elder and to the appointment of teaching in the church. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says this clearly to Timothy, do not be hasty in the laying on of hands or take part in the sins of others. There should not be quick ordination of men to these teaching roles. No, they should be careful. They should be tested for their character and their willingness and their submissiveness to God and to his word. Even Paul says later in Timothy, in the second letter, he says, remind them of these things and charge them before God, these not to quarrel about words. When we're hearing God and his word, it's not something that we should be quarreling about because we have confusion about who says what and where, because there are right teachers and false teachers, or there are those who are in line with Scripture, but there are those who are giving their own opinion. And he says, Paul, to Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God, one who's approved. There are approved teachers, and a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble. Don't just speak babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Others in Paul and letter of Timothy, he says, certain persons by swerving from these have wandered away into vain discussions, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding. Have you ever met somebody who's speaking very confidently about something, but yet you have a sinking suspicion that they don't know what they're talking about? And you go, really? Is that really what it is? Maybe you've been one of those people. I unfortunately have been one of those people where I've spoken too confidently about things that I later needed to repent of, needed to humble myself and say, I spoke too quickly. I need to correct the record here. This is why there's a good command here. How are we to receive from God and His Word? We're to be quick to hear it, but we're to be slow to speak it because it's worth guarding. It's not worth spreading lies or misunderstandings. So we must be rightly understanding it, rightly ordained to do that, especially, particularly in the Lord's Day, preaching and teaching time, gathering. Now, this is not saying that we can't encourage one another from the Lord. Of course, we can, should encourage, exhort one another from the Lord and even teach. I mean, the Bible says, you know, older women are to be teaching younger women and you know, husbands are to be teaching their wives and their children, and we are to be encouraging one another in the Lord, of course. But even then, when we do that, we are to be careful when we do that. Not to be putting in our own thoughts and opinions into that, but to really quoting Scripture and rightly understanding how to encourage each other in that. We have the ability to use the Scriptures. We are called to do that, but to do it carefully. So we must be slow to speak God's Word without preparation, if that's for us to be doing in the public gathering, or really without approval. As we know, many of us, very clearly, it says in multiple places that women are not to be called to the office of elder in teaching and to have authority. It says, 1 Timothy 2, I do not permit a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. And then later in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, as in all the churches, this is not just a Timothy or Corinth thing, but as in all the churches, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. For if there's anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. We bring up these verses just to show that there's clear examples of the Word of God is to be carefully guarded and spoken in certain settings by certain people so that God's Word is lifted up as high and important and wonderful and beautiful, and so that we can be following God's design. And so I ask you now this question, which is, do you rightly understand how important it is to strictly guard the teaching of the church? Do you rightly understand that the teaching of the church, the ministry of the teaching of the church, is worth praying for, and praying for this amongst your leaders and saying, Lord, bless them, guide their study, guide their times, have them lead us into strength and righteousness? And we know that the Bible talks about the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians, and what do? They went to the Scriptures themselves. We are, of course, to be able to understand the Scriptures ourselves and to grow in our knowledge of them. But it's also something that we are to humbly receive from our teachers and our pastors, and I know that that happens here. I have no concerns that that isn't happening here. But it's something for us to be reminded of, something for us maybe to be encouraged towards. Are we regularly, weekly praying as members of this church that God would guard the teaching of this church so that we could receive the pure word, milk and meat? Give me all of it, Lord. Use your messengers so that we can hear from you. I don't want any fluff inside. Just give me the good stuff. Right? Give me your good, clean word. Paul speaks about this to Timothy, about how serious a matter it is. He says, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and quarrels about words, which produce envy and dissension and slander, evil suspicions and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. There are false teachers in and around us. You know, if we were to rightly understand this text and maybe apply it more fully, I would imagine that there would be many podcasts and many, maybe YouTube channels that should not exist. Because there are people who teach because they're, what? Because they like certain topics, they teach about the Lord. Maybe they're Christians, maybe they're well-meaning Christians, but have they been called and set aside by God, by the church, in order to have a ministry in this way? I'm not against podcasting or not against the use of media or technology, but not everybody is rightly understanding how God guards his word and wants his people to guard his word. In fact, we've had to encourage, not completely, but we've had to encourage our people to be, well, maybe completely, to discern who you're listening to discern what you're filling your mind with, to discern who are the people who are behind those contacts or podcasts. Are they pastors of churches? Are they leaders of ministry? Are they ordained men? Are they people that should be encouraging you in this particular topic? Be careful. God has given us local elders and teachers to guide us. It doesn't mean we can't be helped by other Christians. Of course we can be helped. But are we understanding the rails that God gives us? As we look at our last point for this morning, how are we to receive the teaching of the Word of God? We're to be quick to hear it, enthusiastically ready to receive it. We're to be careful and slow to speak it with our own authority, with our own words added in, maybe out of step with the position that God has placed us in the church. We need to be careful not to do that. No, we need to be careful to speak the word only according to God has us. And our third point from this morning is we are to be slow to anger. But again, not just generally slow to anger when receiving rebuke from God's word. We're to be slow to anger when that word that God gives us through his teachers stings a little bit, when it makes us squirm, when it makes us feel like, I don't like this. No, that anger, that welling up inside of us may be a picture of our lack of humility, our picture of our lack of knowledge, a picture of how we need God to run and lead our lives and help us do that, not our own thoughts and our own wisdom. Look what it says in verse 19. He says, my beloved brothers, in the string of commands, let every person be, right? Quick to hear, slow to speak, now slow to anger. And then he gives a reasoning. Verse 20, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. This is generally true. If you're just getting angry all the time and you're lacking self-control, that is not godly. There is such thing as righteous anger, amen? We should be getting angry at unrighteousness. We should be getting angry at our sin. There are things that should raise our temperature up, just like our Lord Jesus. I mean, he was not a only calm guy. He pulled out a whip when he needed to. So there is such thing as righteous anger. But anger in and of itself needs a context. It needs a contents. It needs a reason to be angry. But again, this is not just general anger, even though that applies. He's speaking about angry or being angry when God gives us his word. Look at what he says in verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. What is he just saying? Repent. Isn't that what that means? Put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. If they're receiving from God, you must repent of your sin. You must understand what God says. And instead of being angry at God telling you to repent, or the teacher of God telling you to repent, instead, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Gospel preaching, gospel teaching, that very same gospel preaching that can and does save souls, the one that we receive about Jesus being our only Savior, about Jesus being the way in which we can have righteousness, not a righteousness of our own, his righteousness. He gives that to us by faith as we humbly submit ourselves. He did the work for our salvation. This is the word that we received. We receive, we are sinners in need of a Savior. We are sinning against God all the time. But by God's grace, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, because he loved the world. He sent his Son into the world so that he might save those in the world, sinners in the world. He did this before the foundation of the world. He had a plan to save these rebellious sinners. And those rebellious sinners, like you and I, then need to receive this word, and then need to believe this word, place our faith in Christ and Him alone. And part of that belief is that we are sinners that need to repent. And we need to humble ourselves as we have done. If you are a Christian here this morning, it means you have repented. And if you are a Christian here this morning, that means we still need more repenting. Amen? It's an ongoing process. If you're here this morning, you have not received this gospel word, I'd encourage you today, I'd exhort you today, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord. Maybe there are children among us or young ones who have not done that yet. They've heard the gospel several times, but they need to, with God's help, understand their need and say, you know what? I need to bow my knees. I need to ask for forgiveness. And I need to, but with God's help, truly repent from godly grief to true repentance. But what are we to do? We are to be slow to anger when receiving rebuke from God and rebuke about repenting and instead receive this gospel preaching, this gospel teaching, which is able to save our souls. Ecclesiastes says, be not quick to become angry. But this is when God is speaking, we hear. You know, the scriptures, as we know, a well-known verse from 2 Timothy, they're breathed out by God and they're profitable. For what? For teaching, for reproof. Well, that's a form of correction, for rebuking. For correction, not this way, but that way. There's a godly, a better way to do that instead. And for training in righteousness. That's what they're profitable for. And so we must ask our question, as we've asked the previous questions, do you receive biblical correction with humility and sincere repentance? Do you receive biblical correction with humility, and do you come with sincere repentance? You know, In my own experience, I actually have liked lively sermons in my life, and when I feel like there's something being said of worth. But sometimes when we can get involved in maybe listening to a sermon or to a teaching, we might say amen, or we might say that's right. But does it always have that humbling, repenting effect on us? We need God's help for that, amen? We need to ask Him, Lord, humble me. Help me see what I can't see. Or help me be able to follow Your ways and what You're calling me to do. You know, our own catechism, you know, talks about the Holy Scriptures. I love many of the questions. I know you guys are going through them, which is wonderful. Question 5, may all men make use of the Holy Scriptures? Is it for everyone? Who's it for? And I love this answer. All men are not only permitted, but commanded and exhorted to read, hear, and understand the Holy Scriptures. It's not just that you can use the Scriptures and receive from them. We must. Amen? All men must. And we must receive correction from them. Correction is God's grace to us. When he shows us our need for Christ, our need for forgiveness, our need for wisdom, our need for help and hope. And all of this, beloved, we are called to do. None of it on our own strength. None of us. We are not to be Christians who bare knuckle in our own strength, saying, okay, well, then I just got to be quick. I need to have better strategies at which I'm quick to hear. And I need to, okay, what am I going to do so that I'm not speaking so quickly? How do I life hack this thing? Okay, let me look up life hacks for not speaking so quickly. This is not the type of spirituality we have, that is just some sort of self-exerted will. No, we live and walk by the power of the Spirit because of the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so what we do is we look to Christ and we believe in Christ. We ask Him for the help and for the hope and for the strength. And we see that, yes, it's true. Many of us may even not, we are not always following these commands. And so instead of moving towards despair or to thinking maybe because I've struggled, maybe I might not be in the Lord's, amongst the Lord's people, it's of course right to examine ourselves that way, but the Lord's people do fall and we do miss the mark. And that is one of the beautiful things of the gospel, is that we cannot miss the mark so much fully and finally that we will be gone from Christ's people if we are His people. Amen. He will keep us. He will hold us. He will help us in these ways of living out His law and His love. We are to love Him and our neighbor. And we look to Christ. We literally look to his life. We see that he was the one who, even at a young age, he increased in wisdom. He received, what does it say? Jesus increased in wisdom, Luke 2 verses 55 or 52. He increased in wisdom and stature and the favor of man and God. Christ even did that, right? He didn't just increase, he listened. I mean, look at when he was 12, as a 12-year-old. Verses 46 through 48 in Luke 2. After three days, they found him, Jesus, in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, asking them questions. He was engaged. He was excited. He was learning. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. He listened intently. He didn't just listen to the right teachers. He submitted himself, right? When they were looking in verse 49 of Luke 2, when they were looking for him, they did not know that, he said, when you were looking for me, did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? And they did not understand, and they were saying that what he was saying, and when he spoke to them, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to his parents. His mother treasured all these things up in his heart. Even as a young boy, Christ is fulfilling these things. And he didn't just listen quickly. He didn't just submit himself. I mean, he rightly spoke. Jesus did not say one word out of turn with the wrong tone or the wrong inflection from the wrong heart. Our perfect Christ, it's his righteousness that we look to, not our own. Amen? John 12 says, "For I have not spoken on my own authority," Jesus says, "but the Father who sent me has given me a command, and I want what I say and what I speak. I know that his command is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." Jesus is the true prophet of God, the perfect teacher of God. And so he will help us as we receive from him. And he teaches us. And we know these words of encouragement, this call to humble ourselves before Christ. What does Christ say? He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Sometimes we can move towards perfectionism or move towards the law of God being heavy. It's heavy if we're not forgiven of the law of God for transgressing it. That's heavy. But if we're forgiven because of the blood of Jesus Christ, it becomes a delight to learn from him. It becomes, Lord, help me. Not because of my salvation of resting on my own works. No, help me to live out your law, to live out your commands, because I want to grow in righteousness as you are righteous. I want to grow in faithfulness as you are faithful. And so as we come to an end and as we look at Christ, we want to say, Lord, help us receive your word with quickness, with enthusiasm, with even preparing our hearts ahead of time. Lord, help us be careful not to speak our own opinions and to use some sense of authority because we're teaching each other God's word in some way inappropriately. No, may we guard the teaching of God's word, and may we, with God's help, not be prone to anger when we're corrected, but may the Lord help us humble ourselves in his sight so that we can receive all the blessings and all the honor that we must give him. And so to him be the glory, we pray. Amen? Would you bow with me? Father in heaven, thank you that you encourage us through Christ, through his servant James this morning. These commands that you give us, Lord, are for our good. They help us in our everyday lives, our weekly lives, how we are to interact with you, interact with each other. And so, Lord, may you get all the praise and the glory. May Christ be seen as wonderful and beautiful, and may his gospel be believed and received. And Lord, may we be repenting every day, as long as you call today the day. Lord, we look forward to your coming back to receive us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.